welcome to episode number 90 of the Peer Geek podcast. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you here. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is a podcast all about technology and the role it has in physical education. If you are a frequent listener or you catch the occasional episode, I welcome you back. And if you do have a moment to spare and you can head over to iTunes or Stitcher or any of the places that you're listening to this from and that you can leave a review for us, that would be really appreciated. It does help other people discover new shows. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to be focusing in on the idea of virtual reality and the idea that it is one of these technologies that is absolutely going to disrupt many of the things that we hold dear and true in today's day and sense, and look at some of the opportunities that it has for learning, in particular, obviously, physical education, and leave you with just a couple of ways that you could potentially utilize it now in your day-to-day practice. So let's dive into this episode. Now, if you follow the work that we do over at thepeergeek.com, then you'll probably be aware that we tend to share emerging technologies and some of the possibilities that they have in phys ed. And if you look right back to the first lots of blog posts that we ever did in 2008, many of the things that we were talking about at that stage have evolved to become, you know, a little bit more common practice and stuff that we sort of now look at as being sort of great use of tech in phys ed. And in many ways, the things that we spoke about sort of came into fruition. And I sort of have enjoyed going back and seeing the posts and what we spoke about and where that's led to. But there is a sort of logical point in time where there are technologies that I've explored with just as a technology fan, but I never actually wrote about or talked about. And one of those technologies in the early days, up until sort of last year, was virtual reality. And obviously virtual reality is not new. I mean, it sort of came into attention in the 1980s and 90s as this, you know, amazingly life-changing, gonna disrupt the world technology. And, you know, some of my earliest memories, even just around computers in general, were a virtual reality-like experience. And it was pretty terrible, to be honest, but the whole concept of it was that, you know, you could sit behind this screen that was just over the front of your eyes and you had a headset on and you would play a video game. And I remember it being this sort of polygon video game, plane game or something like that, where it simulated the feeling of flying. And at that stage, I thought it was the worst thing that I've ever played. You know, it was horrible. It really didn't live up to the hype and the name. And I guess many other people around this time probably had a bit of a go with virtual reality. And, you know, we probably heard the adage that this is going to be the way that we all look at entertainment in the future. And, you know, many, many years have passed since then. And that still really hasn't perpetuated. But last year, we started to see an enormous amount of money coming and flowing from the big tech companies in, you know, Google's and Samsung and other technology giants into the virtual reality space. And in many ways, it was the starting point for what is very much becoming the a way in which the entertainment will be sent and consumed by us in the future. And over the past 2 years, this has basically resulted in over $5 billion being invested in, you know, bringing virtual reality to life. And it's going to be an inevitable disruption that will happen in all industries, you know, not just entertainment, but in so many different industries. And the exciting thing, and I know I've spoken about this on previous episodes, but I think it was episode 60, but if you go back and look at many of the opportunities that have resulted, there's a very trackable progress that is taking place, and it all sort of is in accordance with what's called Moore's Law, where, you know, every year computational power doubles and price points halve, and that continues in the background, and something that seems like a gimmick, like my first virtual reality experience, many years later is quite disruptive. And, you know, that's exciting because we're at that stage now where what was a gimmick has slowly been getting better and better and better. And it's led to the point now where realistically we can see applications for it in all different fields, and education is no exemption. So I'm excited. This episode, I'm going to dive in and talk about just a couple of ways you could get started now very cheaply and efficiently, and sort of get a bit of a taste for where it is. And then talk about some of the opportunities that we have for the future. Now, obviously, you know, considering that we're talking about virtual reality, there's this idea that you need to have headsets. And in order to have a headset, then obviously you've got to pay for the headset. So there's an additional cost that's attributed to that. And that's true. Obviously, in order to experience a virtual reality experience, you need to have some sort of device that makes that possible. But a couple of years ago now, Google released what's called Google Cardboard. And Google Cardboard is exactly as the name suggests. It's a piece of cardboard that is shaped into the shape of cardboard, basically. And as you purchase one, you go and place your phone inside the Google Cardboard holder, and then you hold the Google Cardboard up to your face and put, you know, the mask or the goggles on that have a headband, and you run a series of Google Cardboard compatible applications for your iPhone or your Android phone that immediately turn your phone into a virtual reality experience. And because you're looking through the goggles, you actually get to interact with it as if it was the real world. In even though, you know, it's obviously a computer generated world, it's progressed to a point now where you can start to see real worlds in virtual reality and in 360 degrees. So the basic idea is that, you know, once you're wearing it, you move your head and whatever's on the screen moves to match that orientation. So as you look right, the screen moves right, and it makes this absolutely fluid movement that would match with the real sort of movement of that place. So this has led people to, you know, begin to experience what it might be like to stand, you know, on a famous landmark and look around, like under the Eiffel Tower, as if you were actually standing there, or anywhere in the world for that matter of fact, just by putting on a Google Cardboard and looking around. You can be immediately transplanted, you know, to that location. And to be honest, it feels like you are actually there. There's some pretty incredible content producers out at the moment. We'll have some links in the show notes at thepeergeek.com/90 for episode 90. And these content producers are producing full movies in virtual reality or 360 degree. And the first experience I had with my Google Cardboard, which they're priced around $20, so we're not talking an awful lot here, was placing me in a refugee camp. And I literally felt like I was in the place, seeing all the people run around me, come up to me and sort of like they were going to interact. And it was very human. It was very very believable and a real big indication of what's going to be possible in the future. So we'll get to that in a moment, but that's the starting point. You can get Google Cardboard and make this possible really affordably. And obviously there are other options to, you know, get things like a Samsung Gear virtual reality kit, which, you know, makes it more comfortable and a little bit more fluid, and a few other options so you can interact with the stuff that's taking place. But with that basic building block of a Google Cardboard, then there are some opportunities, and I want to take you through those. So remember, all the links for things that we mention will be inside of the show notes at thepeergeek.com/90. So you can go back there and read a transcript, as well as click on links and go and explore stuff even further. But one of the first phys ed health sort of opportunities that came from this was the use of the Anatomy U VR application. And it is a very cool free app that you can install on your iPhone or your Android, and then you place it inside of the headset, whether that's Google Cardboard or Samsung Gear, whatever it is. And then it places you inside the human body. So from the perspective of you being in a blood cell, for example, as you navigate through and see all the different parts of the human body in 3D. So you can imagine that you're floating down the blood cells, you're looking left and right, and you're seeing, you know, the heart, the aorta, you know, the different elements that make up your body, and you're able to interact with those and sort of learn about them as you go. In terms of learning about health and, you know, the different anatomy, that's a cool use of virtual reality, and that's only going to get better to the point where, you know, the actual environment you're in seems lifelike as opposed to some sort of 3D computer rendering. The next little example of this that sort of just sheds out again, where this is headed, you know, this still is in its very early days, but a game that I played was called Final Kick VR. And Final Kick VR, again, is another little free app, and it places you in the soccer goals. So you're standing there, you've got your headset on, and you're looking out, and it feels as though you're standing on a football pitch or a soccer pitch and standing in the goal line, and then you've got people who are kicking the soccer ball at you. And what you have to do is see, based on how the ball is moving, and move left or move right or stay where you are, and sort of simulate by actually doing it what it would be like if you were getting the ball kicked towards you when you were trying to defend it as a goalie. And it's actually really quite challenging. You know, you've got to read the play and react quickly and make a decision and move in the exact direction that you know, you need to in order to actually stop it. Now, obviously, you don't physically touch the ball because it's a simulation, but the same decision making is being made. So, you know, from the perspective of thinking about this as, you know, if you're a coach, for example, sure, nothing beats playing the real game, but at some point you can't be doing this all night or forever, or obviously you need a second person to kick the ball at you. But with an application like Final Kick VR on your headset, you could be practicing that same skill set, that same decision making on your own, and be able to do that over and over and over. And I guarantee that is going to increase, you know, to the point of where people are obviously going to be doing it to practice even more deeply specific situations. And I read an article recently about the American Football League utilizing virtual reality to train their players through specific scenarios that come up but are very hard to simulate in real settings, but do come up in the game settings. And by using this, they're able to train them very specifically, which I think is very cool and only going to get better. Now, my good friend Jorge Rodriguez, who is avidly a big fan of virtual reality experiences, in fact, ran an amazing webinar for Connected PE, which I'll link to in the show notes, took us through an idea of using the app CoSpaces to create a virtual reality experience whereby the teacher crafts a series of activities that students need to participate in. So with the CoSpaces app, you start by being on your computer and you create an experience or an interactive virtual world that, in his case, had a list of activities that people needed to perform as they moved around the gym. Now, the coolest part about this was that the students could then go into the CoSpaces world by having their virtual reality headset on. So again, Jorge created the world, which took up, you know, this series of activities of, you know, different exercises the students would do. And then the kids put their headsets on, and then as they glanced around the room, they could see to the right of them that there was a station that said 10 push-ups. You know, they moved their head to the left and they could see the other station that said, now you need to do 10 Supermans. And they moved left again and they could see the next activity. So the idea being that they could walk around the gym, which was a virtual gym, but they were in a real place, and they could be doing activities. And I thought that was a really tremendous look into what the future is. You know, imagine it in the future. They're not just static activities, but they're, you know, dynamic activities. And it's not just a piece of paper with instructions, but it could be an avatar of a famous person taking them through a series of activities or events, or teaching them something, or, you know, walking them through a real virtual world that's based on a historical landmark, and learning about it as you go. So the implications there are rather profound, but if you wanted to see what that was all about, then you can head to cospaces.io, and you can see that they have this creation tool where you can make your own experiences. Then you get the CoSpaces app, and then you put it into your headset and you can explore that. Now, a couple, just to wrap up, a couple of other simple ideas that are available at the moment also include utilizing things like YouTube and GoPro VR. Now, you may be familiar with the GoPro, the amazing camera, but there is a GoPro VR app, and it is a collection of virtual reality experiences shot right in the action. So, for example, if you wanted to talk about what it's like to bungee jump or ski down a mountain or all these sort of, you know, activities like that, then you can find them inside the GoPro VR app, put them into a person's headset, and then actually experience what that might be like to participate in. And it's just a cool way to get people conversing and, you know, sharing ideas and strategies about what it might be like to participate in those. And again, the other one that I thought was tremendous was just simply using YouTube, because there is a whole suite of 360-degree videos now appearing on YouTube that are perfect for a VR headset. And another example of Jorge's creativity is his own 360-degree video channel, which he basically has recorded his phys ed class in 360 degrees so that you can experience it just by putting your headset on, which is really cool. So while we've obviously gone through a very, very quick collection of ideas and scenarios around the use of virtual reality in today's sense, the real focus is, you know, where this stuff is headed in the future. And I mean, it is truly phenomenal. We're in the very early days. It's only starting to materialize. It's still in what I think the deceptive phase, where most people think it's a bit of a gimmick and, you know, it's not really getting the attention that it will get in the coming years. But, you know, as we progress, there's already talks and already investment from big sporting firms and entertainment agencies to start to leverage it for their purposes. You know, the reality is that you could very easily attend an NBA game in the future through virtual reality. And sure, nothing beats sitting on the side of the court. And obviously everyone would wish that they could be able to experience that. But through virtual reality, you very well could experience that. You could get to a situation where you get to sit courtside and look through the virtual reality glasses and experience it as if you were actually there in real life. And there's a lot of big business and big money being thrown into how they can make that happen for not just sports, but for entertainment, for everything, for universities potentially even, so that, you know, people who can't travel or have an inability to get and access places could experience it as if they were there. Now, you might think, well, sure, that's okay, it's great. But it surely couldn't feel like the real thing, obviously, because, you know, you couldn't physically touch stuff and smell things and whatever. But from a visual perspective, it's getting to a point where it would be indistinguishable between the real thing. And if you're a tech fan, then maybe you've bought a TV in the last few years. And one of the selling points that people who sell TVs use is this idea of 1080p. And they might have said to you that it's a 1080p television, or if you've bought one very recently, they might have said it's a 4K television. And essentially that stands for basically the definition of the content that is possible to be viewed from that television. Now, at some point in the future, we're going to reach the limit of what our eyes are actually able to distinguish. And they say it's between 8p, so 8,000k, and 12,000. So somewhere in that line is the actual theoretical limit of, you know, what the human eye can see. And there are already 8K TVs floating around. So, you know, looking at that, you would not be able to tell the difference between it and the real world through your own eyes. So the impact here for virtual reality is that in the real future, putting a virtual reality headset on will basically be indistinguishable between what you're looking at now as you listen to this episode and the side of the NBA court when you're in a virtual reality experience. So, you know, what will that provide for students? What will that mean for the future of education when it's indistinguishable, when we can create experiences for people at zero cost and we can use it for learning? You know, I think it's really exciting. Obviously, we're not there just yet, but we are at a stage now where you can really start to leverage it and learn from it and experience it. And I think it's pretty easy to do so with a Google Cardboard and some of the free apps that I mentioned in this episode. So if you want a reminder of what they are, head along to thepeergeek.com/90 for episode 90. And if you have any questions or any things that you've done with virtual reality, feel free to head over to the blog and leave a comment. And if you wanted to join that webinar that Jorge Rodriguez has created on virtual reality, then you can do so by going to thepeergeek.com/VR webinar. That's /VR webinar. And you can join the webinar, obviously see what the amazing work that Jorge is doing, who I believe is easily the pioneer in virtual reality and phys ed. And yeah, even get a certificate of attendance for participating in that. So hopefully you found that interesting. In the next episode, I'm going to do the same thing, but we're going to talk about augmented reality. And the purpose of these two episodes is just to share some light on what they're doing now, as well as what they're doing in the future. And also clear up some of the differences between the two that people get a little bit confused about. So I look forward to seeing you in episode 91. Speak soon.